have sought me out to fill my needs, I am now declaring to you that my God shall supply your needs from his riches and grace. Just like to read another word or two about Paul's feelings toward the Philippian brethren. In the fourth chapter, first verse, he says, "Wherefore, my brethren, whom I love and yearn to see, my joy and my crown." And again, Paul tells them in Philippians 1, 7 and 8, reading from the Amplified, "I hold you in my heart as partners and sharers, one and all with me of God's grace, both when I am shut up in prison, as he now was, and when I am out in the defense of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for and pursue you all with love in the tender mercies of Christ Jesus." He calls them his partners. Yes, they were partners of sorts, because they made it their business to find out what Paul needed, and they supplied those needs. They were partners with him. And so when we support others who are in the ministry, we are partners with them to encourage the work, even though we ourselves may not be part of the full-time service ourselves. So then, Paul was well qualified to talk about the needs of the brethren, because he had learned in every state both to have poverty and to have plenty, to prosper and to suffer. Now, our discussion this morning is going to deal with our needs today. If we asked ourselves to list a series of things that we think we need, I presume the list might go something like, well, of course we need more money. Inflation is not so good. We need more prosperity. We could use a little better health. We need tranquility in this world of stress and tension. We need to be at ease and financial security. These are some of the things that we would perceive as being our needs, and perhaps there is a measure of truth in some of them. But remember, he says God shall supply your needs, not your wants. Not everything that you want will be supplied, and he will not supply your greeds, but your needs. Now we come into an area where our Heavenly Father's wisdom is going to decide what we need. Who decides best what the sheep need? Do the sheep decide, or does the shepherd? The shepherd decides. In the 23rd Psalm, we are told, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Another translation, the Good News translation, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." Very interestingly put, when we as sheep follow our Heavenly Father, we have everything we need. But you say, "Yes, but there are so many things that I do need." You have everything you need. Faith accepts what God says we need. Faith accepts what God says we need. We may be in poverty. We may have lost our job, lost our health, lost all prosperity that we had. That's what we need. Because if God's providence permitted it, God, faith says, "I will accept that God says I need this." Paul could say that when he prospered in the mission field. He could also say it when he was stoned and left for dead. He needed the experiences which divine providence saw were best suited for his eternal welfare. "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." In the 23rd Psalm, the shepherd provides varying things for the sheep. First, he does provide blessings, yes. He leads them in the green pastures and beside the still waters. Blessings, yes. But then there are trials that come the way of the sheep. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." There are varied experiences, and discipline is meted out for the sheep. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." They hurt, yes, but they comfort me. I am disciplined, I am guided, I am directed by the rod and the staff. So it is the shepherd who knows best what is needed. And Paul assures us that my God shall supply all your needs. And so we can with assurance say, whatever our circumstances in life, faith can say, divine providence has filled my needs. Not what I would choose. Not, no. We would never choose certain trials. But providence is filling my needs. And if we can look at the trial in that light, in that perspective, then the trial, we are now partners with Christ in his suffering, and we are not cast down and in despair. Now, Paul had experiences along this line. We're all familiar with it, of course. I'll just touch it briefly. Paul felt he had a need. And Paul, being a very zealous man, he went all out when he saw what he perceived what was the Lord's will. He followed it very firmly. Paul was certain that it was God's will for him to have the thorn in his flesh removed. He felt sure about it. He felt convinced. And with that conviction, he prayed earnestly. Three times. We don't know how long a period of time was. Weeks, months, we don't know. But he didn't let it go at the first no that he got from the Lord. He kept praying. Three times, the scripture says, he begged the Lord to remove the thorn. He perceived that his needs were that he needed to have the mobility, which perhaps a better eyesight would give him, if that indeed was the thorn in the flesh. Whatever the thorn was, he perceived that he needed to have it removed. And so he prayed very fervently. But the Lord's answer was no. God's perception of what Paul needed was different